we have not been paying taxes.
It hasn't been paid up as of yet. We actually plan to. There is a plan that we have to take care of that. A lot of the money went towards a lot of repairs that were being damaged by the steam leaks and a lot of the utility bills that we have are in place.
So then why are residents paying to live there? Where's the money going?
So, again, you know, went to a lot of the repairs from not just the boiler room and the steam leaks, but a lot of the apartments that were damaged. Some folks had mold, other utility bills that we have. I inherited, you know, over $1 million, I should say. We inherited as a board back in May 2022, over $1 million worth of debt. So there were companies that we had to negotiate with, and we had to get on a payment plan. My predecessor took out a few loans, over like $400,000 in loans.
This is just a snippet of a more than 20-minute conversation we had back in June of 2024. That is Ty Bird. He is the former president of the board, which was in charge of the money for Success Village. Success Village is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I've been following the Success Village saga since it was first brought to me by dozens and dozens of residents who call Success Village home. Just to recap for you, Success Village is a 900-plus unit complex. It is sprawling between Bridgeport and Stratford. And in the late winter, early spring of 2024, it was brought to my attention that there were many people living there without heat during the winter and without hot water during the spring. Babies who could not take a hot bath. Seniors who were being told by the mayor that they could go to the Y to go get a hot shower. I mean, this was lunacy to me, the idea of people living under these conditions. And as I did some more digging, I found out that there were a lot of issues in many of the units. And so the one and only time I got Ty Bird to come on the show before he was then removed as president and a court had ordered a receiver to go into place, Attorney Barry Knott, in the fall of 2024, he outlined that there were issues with the units that needed to be paid up on. But I went to Success Village and I looked at dozens of units where mold was still there, where there were still issues with foundations and things of that nature, and where there is now at least a temporary solution. They got through the winter time okay. I haven't heard of any major issues since Barry Knott took over that role as receiver. But there were still problems at Success Village when Ty Bird was president of the board. Something developed this week, and residents were certainly, I would say, relieved or feeling like they were seen at a state level. FBI agents went into not one but two of the units at Success Village. And I saw Ty Bird. I went there and I saw him go in and out of the two units. I have not been able to confirm that the two units belong to him, but the FBI did confirm on site that they were following up on several warrants executed that were tied to Mr. Bird. So I wanted to talk to his attorney representing him. Darnell Crossland joins us back on the show. And Darnell, I appreciate you coming on and speaking about your client as much as you can in this case. Can you confirm that the FBI raid this week was specifically for your client? And does it have anything to do with finances?
Confirm you that I do have the warrants, and I did review the warrants, and the warrants were for two properties. One was my client's, and one was another person's property. So I just want to be very clear and not use semantics. So the warrants weren't for him, but they were for properties at Success Village, one of which was his.
Okay. The second one, I was told, though, are ties to him. Whether it's a relative, a family member, an ex-girlfriend, or a girlfriend of some sorts, I was told that both properties are tied to your client.
All right. So again, I don't want to use the word tied to, but I think you're in the right space. There was some relationship, yes, but I don't know right now what the relationship was, ex-girlfriend, friend, but they had an interest in another property and they executed warrants on that other property as well.
Why were the FBI there?
I can tell you this, Melissa. What this really should come down to, you just gave in your opening a history of problems that existed at Success Village for a long time, even before Ty Bird. So what this really should come down to is a question of accountability and not criminal liability. I got a phone call from a member of the press and said, he opened the call by saying, Darnell, do you have any comments about your client? He's in handcuffs. And I said, I have hundreds of clients. What are you talking about? And then he goes, Ty Bird. I said, send me a picture and I'll comment. He sends me a picture of Ty Bird standing outside with FBI agents. I respond angrily and I said, you see, this is what I'm talking about. Normally, police would use two handcuffs. They're called double cuffing to make sure that the person's collarbone is not broken. I said, Ty Bird is so big, they would have to use three cuffs. I said, he's clearly not in handcuffs, but you call me sensationalizing this because you want to see a big black man put in handcuffs and so that you can, quote unquote, sleep at night.
So just so that you know, Darnell, I agree that I can't stand when the media does that. In fact, even here on WICC, I said numerous times, in fact, we were the ones who broke the story. I would not even go to air until I could confirm with law enforcement that, in fact, it was one of the residents is tied to Ty Bird. I would not even confirm that until I heard from the FBI or at least a source connected that they were there. The second thing is, of course, we got a lot of calls that he was being arrested. I actually had residents call into the show saying that. And I said, I need to correct you. I have not seen any arrest happen. And in fact, that's why I went to Success Village, was I freely saw Ty Bird walking around the property with no issue. There was no arrest. I even asked FBI, are you arresting anybody on property today? No, we are not, ma'am. We are just collecting evidence. And I made it clear on the Lisa Wexler show, made it clear on the download, made sure it was ready for all of our shows, at least here on WICC, that there was no arrest that was being made. So to your point, I don't appreciate that the media would sensationalize that. I agree with you to that point. I do think, though, people do at least expect an arrest. I think when you see FBI raiding and you saw how Ty Bird was acting that day, your client, I should say, I can understand where people would think he is going to be arrested, but I agree with you that is irresponsible journalism to sensationalize something. I don't know necessarily, though, if it has anything to do with the color of his skin. I just want to make that clear. I think it's because of the bad press that has followed him and the reputation he has. I just want to make that clear.
No, and I appreciate you making that clear. You've been a very responsible journalist, and that's why I come on the show. Last time I was on the show and we spoke about Ty Bird, you definitely had a sense of conviction in your voice, and you and I spoke, and I said, you know, I don't want to feel like you're taking sides, but obviously you're very concerned about the residency. You're very concerned about this, and I still come back on the show even now because I know you're responsible. So we don't have to always agree. Just be responsible. That's all I'm asking.
Agreed.
For. You know, and so when it comes to, you know, you say you're not sure it was about color. I've been doing this so long. There's been times where the FBI, on the same circumstances, are looking for documents, not looking for El Chapo. And they will come with two or three agents and they'll, you know, do what they have to do. That was a big show. And I understand that the public needs that. And they need this big show. They need this guy to be standing in handcuffs, which he wasn't. And so people could feel we got someone. But, you know, I'm looking at my notes here and 1.5 years, you know, of taxes that were behind, $6 million in loans were received. This is before Ty Bird. $1.1 million a year in Bridgeport taxes, $1.5 million owed before Ty Bird came into office in 2022. June of 2022, bill from Southern Connecticut Gas was almost $200,000 when the monthly bill is only $30,000 for Connecticut Gas. So that means it had to pile up. And this is before Ty came in 2022. Why weren't these bills being paid before Ty Bird? $30,000 a month got up to $200,000. And I'm not trying to make any excuses that Ty was the manager of the year. But I'm saying to you, like, when a president leaves, the next president, the first thing he says is that I inherited all this nonsense. Mondami comes into New York. He inherits all this nonsense. So he has to try to balance the budget. He's been saying I balanced it in 1 year. God bless him. But We have corporations that run this country down into the ground, and we give them bailouts. We do all these things. We don't put, you know, them in handcuffs. We help them out. But here, we need to have a person in handcuffs. We don't want accountability. We want criminal liability so we can say we got them. And I think we should just not rush to judgment. The FBI is doing their job. I think it was heavy-handed. But like I said earlier, let's let them do their job, and we'll respond accordingly. but everybody's having a parade that we have this guy, and I say a big black guy standing out there in handcuffs, something that we've come to feel comfortable with. And you might not feel that way. That's how I feel.
We have attorney Darnell Crossland here who represents Ty Byrd, and Ty is the former president of the board, which basically handled the finances for Success Village. Again, Success Village is a sprawling 900-plus unit complex between Bridgeport and Stratford. It had many, many reports of no heat, no hot water years ago. A receiver has been put into place. Attorney Barry Knott was put into place in the fall of 2024 by a court. And actually, it was an audit report, you know, months and months later. And we've had Attorney Knott on pretty consistently, not so much to tattle, but because I want to know what's going on with Success Village. I want to know, when you've got over 2,000 people who live here, I want to know what's going on with them. I want to know that progress is being made. I want to inform the people what's happening. And they've asked us to do that. So we have. An audit revealed in 2025 that roughly $2 million in cash was withdrawn from the co-op's bank accounts and that approximately $9 million could not be verified for business purposes. And my understanding, Attorney Crossland, you had mentioned before that I have a sense of conviction. I do. I think when you've got people who are living in an affordable housing complex and you've got people who are paying their bills on time, and overall, everyone was paying their bills on time, but they couldn't get basic needs done, I think that is a fail. Now, does it all fall on your client? To your point, innocent until proven guilty. No, not necessarily. But your client was in a position where he was handling the money for a long time. And audits do reveal that money was not accounted for. And now that he's out of this job, the residents have to foot the bill. Their bills have gone up hundreds of dollars that they can't even afford. They have to fix a problem that they did not earn. And so to your point, could it have been something before your client was in this position? It could be. But it also was a culture that it seems was adopted while your client was also in office. Can we maybe agree on that or no?
I appreciate again the fact that you always acknowledge what needs to be acknowledged. There was a problem that was existing before him. And like I was saying, whether you're the new mayor of New York City or you're the new president of the United States, you have to take on what was there before. As to whether he adopted it, I think it's more of a question of whether he was able to efficiently pull these residents out of that debacle. And it looks like he wasn't. But then that goes to accountability, whether he was effective or not, not whether he was a criminal. But we go right to that. In May of 2022, the city of Bridgeport had trees that fell on SBA. And Mr. Byrd couldn't even get permits from SBA because SBA owed money to WPCA. So he made an arrangement for $30,000 a month that stayed in place all the way until the receivership came in. And now that's because of a tree, just a tree that fell on a building that WPCA said, we're not doing anything. And Bridgeport said, we won't give you a permit for anything over there because you guys owe us money. That's before Ty Byrd. So that relationship where you have with your own city of Bridgeport is saying, we won't even help you. That's really bad for those residents. And that's before Ty Byrd. Now, when he came and he goes, you know what, we got to get this thing done. So I'm going to enter into a contract for $30,000 a month. Now, maybe some other economists would say that was a bad deal. But doing a bad deal doesn't make you a criminal. So they have to find this money. I hope they do. But I don't want us to rush to judgment and say, we got him. Book him, Danim.
I don't know if that's necessarily happening, though, Attorney Crossland. And again, I think you know my character, which is, I agree, innocent until proven guilty. But when you have when you have hundreds of people saying that they were never given financial reports to even know where their money was going, when you walk through units that still have mold or broken things that should have been taken care of, allegedly by the money that was being collected by the co-op board and the president, when you have people who are showing you, I mean, I've looked at it, I've walked through, I've seen it, where it doesn't logically look good, doesn't make sense that people should be living that way. And he was in charge. And again, I'm not saying that there aren't other people that could have also been involved with mishandling money. But I don't think this man is potentially being put into handcuffs because we need to book just somebody. Somebody has to fall on the sword. I think it seems pretty concrete evidence that money was not handled correctly or things were not invested correctly, and he was in charge of it.
I understand it. So yesterday, the FBI was able to obtain a flash drive that Mr. Byrd kept. And the flash drive goes back to 2016 or so. And the FBI spoke to him about that. And he explained to him, oh, yeah, the flash drive covers all of the records for Success Village back in 2016. And I think one of them responded, we're only interested in between like 2022 and 2024, something like that. And when we were in my office last night going over all this stuff with Mr. Byrd, I thought to myself, they need to open the scope. If you're trying to find some corruption here, you should follow the money and see how this has been handled, not just focusing on 2 years of Mr. Byrd, say, from 2022 to 2024. That's not going to give you the real answer. And so when you have a situation where you're only zoning in on a person and not on the situation, then you're not going to come up with the right results. And I'm going to be right there. And I'm going to be a steward of making sure that the truth is found and that we just don't go to the end of this virus and say this is the cause. It didn't happen. And the virus didn't start in 2022. So we're going to be right on top of this.
Do you know at this point, Attorney Crossland, is your client at risk of being arrested?
I would tell you that if you woke up and you saw all those FBIs at your door, I wouldn't be going to get a froyo this afternoon thinking it's all good, as they say in the hood. Of course you're at risk of being arrested, and especially when you said that you weren't rushing to judgment, and I believe you. But I don't believe that other people in that complex who, as you said, was celebrating and giving a sigh of relief aren't rushing to judgment. They are rushing to judgment. They want him arrested so they can say, we got him. And they don't have to look at Mary Lou and all the other board presidents who may have had the same culture in place, may have, allegedly. But what they're saying is, we got this guy. Every single day you drive down the street when your roads, your neighborhoods aren't done well and potholes are there, and you say, why am I paying taxes and nothing's being done? Same thing with the mold, you're saying. Ty did, for 2 or 3 winters, implemented a heating system that no one complained about, and it was able to fix the problem for at least 2 to 3 winters, and that was at a significant cost of money.
Just so you know, Attorney Crossland, that's not my understanding. My understanding is the complaints were starting in 2022. The media didn't care, if I'm being honest. The media didn't care about it. Nobody covered it. Nobody cared. Nobody talked about it. Nobody cared. In fact, it's interesting because once I started talking about it in 2024, I went to the Attorney General. I went to the governor. I went to Mayor Ganim. I went to everybody. And everybody kind of acknowledged that, oh, yeah, we sort of kind of heard about it, but we didn't know to this extent. Nobody talked about it. Nobody cared. If I'm being totally blunt with you, nobody cared.
That.
Yeah.
I could appreciate that.
Yeah.
What do you say to the efforts? Ty Byrd came up with a company that was willing to give $30 million to SVA. I was on that call, and that was blocked. And then months later, there's a grant for $20 million ready to be given to the heating project. It almost seems like we want Success Village to succeed, no pun intended, but not with this guy. So we're going to block the $30 million a grant that he was arranging, and then we're going to come up with the funds later after he left and then say, look, we fixed it. The receiver, as able-bodied as he is, he doesn't have a magic wand either. But what he has is a tailwind that is desirous of him to succeed when nobody was desirous of Ty Byrd to succeed. The board was torn apart. The old board was doing protests and boycotts and things that you shouldn't do. So we get situations where either, you know, you're too big to fail, so everybody supports you, or you're the popular guy and we want you to succeed. Or you're like Ty Byrd, where everything was possibly done to fight against him. He had to be fighting every single day to try to make that place succeed with no support.
It'll certainly be interesting, to your point, Attorney Crossland, to see how this plays out, because I think there actually are some things that you and I do agree on. For example, you know, I look at the situation with CSCU. So if you date back to that audit, I know it's a separate case, but date back to that audit in 2024 when they look at misspending of the P card. And Terrence Chang fell on the sword because he was proven to have been misusing it. But systematically, that is a culture that I do believe was proven that he kind of came into. And that was okay to misuse the funds and to just do whatever you wanted with that credit card. So who else falls on the sword? Nobody, really. I mean, they want to change things going forward. But anybody before Terrence Chang is not mentioned in that audit, is not getting punished to our understanding. So I get what you're saying. I'm not saying that there wasn't maybe a culture that was acceptable. I can't speak to that. And I agree. I think it'd be irresponsible to only look at 2022 and forward. However, the difference, if you're asking the question between your client and, let's say, attorney Knott, my understanding is there was a lack of transparency. Many, many times there was, and I talk about that in my podcast, which people can go back and listen to. I ask him, how often are you having meetings with residents? Can't answer that question. And the answer was there were no meetings. There was never an election to decide who was going to be the next board president. There was a lot that was not actually disclosed to the people living there, which probably adds to why they felt like they didn't matter and nobody really had their back and that this man was at the center of it. Again, got to see how this plays out, certainly. And I do appreciate you having this conversation on the show. And we absolutely will be following this case very closely. And so I hope that this is not the last time we talk about this here on the show. Thank you so much, Attorney Darnell Crossland, again, for Tybird right here on WICC.